We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Kuf Mem Tes in the Shalem edition, Shin Mem Hei in the Mosad Erev Kuk edition. And the Ran had been discussing Moshe's prayer to enter the land of Israel, God's refusal to let him into the land of Israel. The Ran had been developing the idea that Hashem took Moshe to task out of respect for the people of Israel. Hashem said, you spoke in a manner that was less than respectful to the people of Israel. As a leader, I'm going to hold you on that and I won't forgive you. And the Ran had been analyzing different aspects of the prayer of Moshe, the request, why the request was declined. And now the Ran came back and asked about Va'etchanan el Hashem. Our sages say Va'etchanan means he asked for Chanina, a free gift. And the Ran had said that Moshe and David both had tremendous zchuyot, they had tremendous merits. Moshe and David both did a tremendous amount of mitzvot, and yet when they asked of Hashem, they would ask for a free gift. And he explained the idea that a tzaddik, when he looks at what he's done wrong, he looks at it as something tremendous. He gives tremendous weight to what his mistakes, to his sins. And he thinks to himself, how can I ever gain atonement for such a sin? Because he can grasp the gravity of the sin. And that's why Moshe and David, when they made requests, they didn't feel like they could come and say, Rabbon Shalom, look at all the mitzvos I did, now help me out. They asked for a free gift. Hashem, please. Give it to me, even if I don't deserve it. And this is in line with the idea that our sages taught. Osin me'ahava usmechin b'yisurim. Pious people act out of love, and they're happy even if they suffer, even if things go tough. Mitzad shemarichin yisurehem le'ain le'neged avonam. So why are they happy? Because they look at what they've done wrong in life, and they say, what I'm suffering doesn't amount to anything compared to what I've done wrong. So it's not so bad. And this concept is alluded to in the words of the prophet, where the prophet said, The Navi describes how the people of Israel, Ephraim, sees their illness, and Ephraim turns to the Assyrian Empire for help, and they don't realize that the Assyrian Empire is the threat, they're not the help. They assume we'll get bandaged up, we'll get healed by the Assyrian Empire, and they don't realize that it's the exact opposite. The one who ultimately exiles the people of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, is actually the Assyrian Empire. So the Navi, the prophet, compares this to a person who's ill, who attributes his illness to the wrong reason. That so long as he makes that mistake, he'll never get cured. So long as he assumes his problem is because of A, so he's addressing that which he thinks is the cause of his illness, but he'll never get cured from that. And then the Navi says, I will go back, God says, till they seek me out. So to speak, Hashem says, I will seclude myself till Israel is interested in connecting to me. So the Navi says, I'm going back to seclusion till they realize it's their fault. So they're willing to take responsibility. That's the first step of the tshuva process. The first step is for a person to be willing to recognize, I've done something wrong. When Hashem says, I'm going to seclude myself, that doesn't mean he doesn't know what's going on in the world. As the verse says,
"Inek tuvah lefanai lo echshe ki im shilamti."
Hashem says, I'm keeping an accounting of people's behavior, their behavior, their parents' behavior. So the Ran says, you want to understand what the Navi is saying here, the idea is as follows. It's as though Hashem saying, people are in denial of what they've done wrong. You'll see children all go through a stage where they say, you can't see me, and they cover their own eyes. They figure, if they can't see you, you can't see them. It's a natural thing that kids do. You will all, God willing, experience the child who walks out of the kitchen with their hand behind their back and assumes you don't know what they have behind their back, right? I don't have anything. I didn't take anything. The child that goes to a chocolate cake and sticks his hand in and eats, and then his face is slobbered with chocolate, and walks out and says, I didn't do anything. I didn't eat anything. And you're looking at the kid, and you see the chocolate all around you. You're wondering whether you should laugh or get angry or what you're supposed to do, especially if it's 5 minutes before an event where you're supposed to serve that chocolate cake. Okay. So, but the truth is, we're all that way. We're coming to Rosh Hashanah, and we forget what we've done wrong. So we sit here and we say, okay, I have to do tshuva over what? So we have one or two things we remember, those biggies, and then the whole year is swept under the rug. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says through the prophet, just because you deny what you've done doesn't mean I forget what you've done. Just so that's what the Navi is saying. Avel hem ketuvim lefanai. Hashem says, I keep a record. I have it all written. So to speak, as though God needs it written. Ve'ech lo eskerem. So how do you expect me not to remember? Ve'gam avonot avotehim gluhim lefanai. God says, I have an accountant from previous generations too. So how come people think if they've forgotten, Hashem has forgotten? So the first step of tshuva is that we actually look at what we've done. We actually think about it. As the verse says, that's what David the Melech says. I'm always thinking about what I've done wrong, how I'm going to fix it. Amar gam ken, ad asher yeshamu. And that's why the Navi says, till they take responsibility, because so long as they don't stop and think of what they've done wrong, they're never going to get cured. And we're going to pick up here, Bezat Shem, next week. The idea, though, I think in the rebuke, in our parasha, in Bechukosai, there's a concept that's critical to tshuva. And I think that that's something which every person here has to take with them going into Rosh Hashanah. When Hashem comes to rebuke us in the Torah, Hashem repeatedly says, did you learn Torah? At the root of it all is learning. The Gemara says if a person sees that Yisurin Ba'inala, he sees that afflictions are headed his way. God forbid a person has to go and do a biopsy. And he's waiting. You know, I have a friend who had terrible stomach pains. And in the x-rays, they saw something about the size of a penny. And at one point, they had to operate. Can you imagine how much he was praying before the operation? And they operated and they went in and they found a pea that had gotten caught in his digestive system, a pea. Pea, don't ask me how that happens, but there was a pea that got caught somewhere and it wouldn't move, and that's what was causing him all the pain. So here they thought he had a growth, and when they operated, they discovered, no, it's a pea, he's okay. Every year on that day, he makes a little festive meal of Thanksgiving. What? With peas. No, without peas. So sometimes a person sees a scenario that seems like it can evolve into a problematic scenario. The Gemara says, Adam person sees like affliction seem to be coming his way. So it says, Yefashpesh b'masav. Let him think about his behavior. What's he done wrong? Then the Gemara says, Pishpesh v'lo matza. What happens if he's looked over his actions and he doesn't find anything that seems worthy of this suffering? So the Gemara says, Yitle be bitul Torah. You should assume the reason is because he's not spending enough time learning. at the root of all of the Torah, at the root of all of the mitzvos that we do, is learning Torah. If I don't know the mitzvos, I can't perform them. When I don't know anything, I think I'm perfect. The more I learn, the more I understand. I have what to do in life. So I think that's something you guys have to take with you, because I think within the tshuva process, the move you've all made, coming here to learn, is a tremendous move in its own right. It's an investment in yourselves, in your futures, and it's the prime investment. Meaning from Torah, we have continued growth. Every other type of tshuva is very limited. The major tshuva, which you've each done to come and learn, that tshuva is limitless, because it gives you the tools to constantly continue growing. And I think that's something you guys should feel good about. Very often, coming into Rosh Hashanah, coming into Yom Kippur, we're learning about tshuva, a person can be hard on himself and say, there's a lot to fix. But I think you have to recognize that you've made the major investment, which is the major step to moving forward in every other aspect of life. So that should be the major focus, I think, of Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. See the positive, because you've really taken a major positive step.